Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everybody. I want to welcome you to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and we are not knowing is most intimate. And you're almost like, well, what the heck does that mean? So we're going to dive into that, and I think this is going to be a very profound conversation where we really get into talking about some of the aspects of this wonderful segment from the book of the fifth Invitation. I'll go ahead and get my co-host, Miss Amy. How are you doing tonight?
I don't know. I just don't know. I know.
There you go. She's not knowing. Amen. And Miss Elena, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing quite well, thank you.
Are you knowing?
No, that girl knows a lot.
Do you guys both know who Danny Kaye is, right? The actor,
yeah,
singer, and entertainer Danny Kaye. He had one movie that I always think of because my daughter Katie just loves. She loved to watch Danny Kaye when she was little, and he had one scene where he was that typical. I know that you know that I know that I'm knowing. You know, he says something like that, right? And so she's gotten into that. You know, that's something that we kind of just have as a in their back pocket, as I were sometimes with our conversations, that I think is really kind of interesting. So this not knowing that you know that I know that you know.
Well, I'm not sure that
you
I
could
know,
go on forever
that
with
know.
That. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I have
it's
to
like
say,
that,
you know, it's like one of the things I love most about Alana, and I love a lot of things, is that you can go to that not knowing space with technology or what to do with your business or how to sort through things, and she always comes from the, it's okay, we're going to figure it out. It's okay not to know. And what a blessing that is. I mean, truly. I always feel safe.
Thank you.
Because
I'm glad for that.
Yeah, trusting in the fact that, and I always, in some of my spiritual teachings I've heard, I will know what I need to know when I need to know it, and I will have what I need to have when I need to have it. A little bit of a tilt your head on that one. Right, but it's true. I mean, if you really lean into that still small voice that we're going to talk about in this chapter and really go from being a place of like, am I a human having a spiritual experience or a spirit having a human experience? I mean, that's a different mindset and a different perspective. You could really lean into knowing that, you know, I am being guided and I am being protected, and I really can look from a place of that something bigger than me is always there wanting to say, yes, let me help you, let me show you. What do you guys think about that?
Amy, you go first.
Okay. So for me, it takes great courage to be in that place of not knowing. And I believe they talk about here on page 252, a good teacher doesn't tell you what to know. He or she shows you how to see. And I think that's a good parent. That's a really good parent that has the courage to say, I trust you, I trust myself, I trust the process. But it can be really scary because, like you're saying, you don't know till you need to know. And there's times, well, no, but I want to know it now. But I want to know it now.
Mm-hmm.
And you may change information, making it happen when the timing's not right.
Mm-hmm. Elena.
I agree. And I think that we should move. I think we should go to the flower wisdom moment.
Well, I want to back up a little bit because I think
when
we talk about this.
Do you know that?
She knows that I need to know that I'm, you know, going into the knowing of the flower wisdom. And the flowers always know, which is always amazing. But if you come from a shaman perspective, and I'm coming from the Hawaiian shaman perspective, there's a really great book that I think I've talked about on the show a few times. It's called The Shaman Mind, and it actually came out this year. I think it was this year that it came out. And it's wonderful. It ties seven different aspects that Hawaiian shaman teach. And it's this foundational aspects of being able to just walk with more of a spiritual perspective. So it's not necessarily, you know, you're going to turn into the shaman, but it's showing how their mindsets are, the shaman mind, and being able to do that. And in talking about that whole thing about, you know what you need to know when you need to know it. One of the things that shaman, when you have them as a teacher for you, they're only going to ask and you're only going to answer what you've asked. No more, no less. And it's very deep because it shows where you are in your sense of growth and your maturity as a person in moving into things. And why would you need, like Amy said, why would I give you more than you need? It's too much for the mind. It's too much for your practice. It's too much for who you are when, you know, you want to go from point A to B when, you know, someone might share on something because they do know. They might give you from point A to, like, X. And you're like, what? Your brain's like, I can't even process that, you know. So there's something to be said on that about being in that not knowing until you know, until you're at that moment. It's just like anything when you have that synergy of touching into something and having it be, you know, exactly it's that moment to bring it forward or to have that thing. It's just like having, you know, that's one of the power of story. And we talked about stories last episode about how powerful they are. Those things pop into our heads for a reason when it comes to being in a way of having these gentle promptings from spirit of being able to share in a teaching mode in ways that we've had experiences. And I want to go back to Jesus and how Jesus had all the parables that really helped for people to be able to have something that really made sense. Instead of having it this deep, profound thing, and you come on the other side of that, and it's like, that was great, but I don't know how to use that in my life. I mean, it'd be something that can be really profound and yet, you know, down to earth and having it being something that's very basic, which is a great segue for the Flower Power Wisdom. And what came for me we're going to be talking about intimate and intimacy and how they're really different. And when we get into that, it's really looking at it sounds like we're being just kind of defining it in a different way, but it's totally different in the way that it looks at it. And we'll get to that a little later in the conversation. But we're going to talk about stargazers. And stargazers are these beautiful lilies that, you put your hand out and spread your hand, fan it out. And that's about the width of some of these stargazers can get to. They're huge and they're beautiful. And Elena had shared with us on our pre-show, the conversation that we had, that she had them in her bridal bouquet. I love that. I love that. That it was such an important flower to be bringing into relationship, to be bringing into a new way that you're stepping into your life. And for me, you know, I think it was so interesting that I've seen the white. And on our first episode of this Cafe Book Club with the five invitations, I got into talking about the color white. And really, white has to actually be every color. If you look into, like, lighting and stuff like that, it's in multiple colors that actually create the best white color. And it's really interesting to look at the way that, just like everything else, it has a frequency to it and the way that it basically expresses itself. So just kind of think of rainbow light and how that gets diffracted, you know, when we've got storms and things like that and lightning and how that would be, you know, we seem to think it's white, but it has all the different colors and stuff in it when you're being able to have that. So think of this beautiful multi, you know, it's almost an iridescent white in the way that it's expressing itself when it takes the full light in. And stargazers love to grow in the sun. I think that's so interesting. A lot of other flowers, you think it's this very delicate flower, but yet it wants to be planted in the sun and stay in the sun. It does very, very well there. And it's also it's actually been crossbred between begonias and other lilies. So stargazer actually has only been on the planet since like the 1970s, which is, I think, really interesting. A California breeder named Leslie Woodruff was the one who created it in the 70s. So, you know, everybody, you know, doesn't even think about stargazers anymore because they've been around for quite a while now and they've been able to have that hybrid variety out there. We've got all these different colors and things like out there. But it has a very unique smell, too. It has this very kind of a musky smell. And I think it's interesting that either people really like it or they don't. So it's one of those things that, along with its expression, you know, it has, you know, its fragrance is very different. It's not necessarily a sweet smell. It has more of a musk smell to it. But, you know, and it doesn't like to grow in soil that has any kind of debris. It likes a very clean earth, you know, planting on it. And when it gets planted, when it gets planted, it comes from the, you know, that crossbreed of the begonia. And I think it's interesting that begonias are actually one of the smallest flower seeds in the world. So you've got this really small seed. It's put into this really, you know, almost virgin dirt, you know, soil that's been, you know, no kind of debris in it, and it will grow into full sun. So it's putting all these different components together that really helps it to be that full expression that it is. And it looks like it's this very fragile flower, but the stem line on it and the way that it expresses itself, it's just a very hardy lily. And I think that's one reason why it's been so successful, because it's not one of these ones that will fade out in just a couple of days. When you have a stargazer lily, it will last for at least a week or so if it's taken care of properly, probably more longer than that. And if you can get potted ones, which are beautiful, they'll last, you know, a few weeks for you, which would be just even that much of a wonderful thing. So, and I keep seeing in my mind that it's just this antenna. You know, it's this beautiful white lily that's just fully expressing itself from the sun and taking in all that light. And it's that invitation of allowing myself to be in this place of vulnerability where I can just be open to all that surrounds me. And I have boundaries to the way that I grow and what's comfortable for me and the way that I have my foundations. And I don't allow a lot of debris or anything to be in my perimeter, so I have room to grow and stretch and be all that I am. And I'm willing to be in a place where I'm multicultural. You know, I've got my begonia and all the other things that I've had that have come from all over the world. Begonias are very interesting because there's a species there. I have over 1,500 species of them, and they're pretty much grown in all of the, you know, the Americas, Africa, Asia, and they're actually part of the pumpkin, squash, and melon family.
Wow.
So, you know, there's one, yeah, there's one one thing in here that's a beautiful story from Thich Nhat Hanh that talks about, you know, he has, like, he'll be doing a talk, and he'll pull out a piece of white paper, and he said, you know, tell me about, you know, what do you think of when I show you this paper? And what people will say, oh, the tree and all the different things. You know, somebody said sky and tree and all these different things come up. And ultimately comes to, you know, how it got grown and how it got put together, the people that were involved in it. So when you think of just this piece of paper, all that came to create that piece of paper, the people, the land, the tree, all the different things, aspects of that. And I think that's something that the stargazer is very much there to hold all of that as a symbol of just this universal love, this universal expression of beauty that really goes beyond words. So what do you think of that, Amy?
I love that.
I just find it interesting that it loves the sun, but it's called a stargazer.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? And it will close
up at
night.
Well, the sun is a star.
The sun is a star.
That's a very good point.
That's a good
point.
It should be called a sun gazer. Yeah, it should be the sun gazer.
So funny.
And I think the reason why they call it a stargazer is it says that it gazes upwards.
Mm-hmm.
So as a gazer, mm-hmm. it gazes up toward the stars.
Yeah, yeah, so funny. You know, when you say that, you know, right, the sun is a star, I guess my brain kind of goes, whoa? It's like, yeah, that's true, but I guess I don't really think about it like that. You know what I mean? It's like the sun has a whole other category for it. It's so funny.
Uh-huh.
Talking about not knowing, right?
Here, huh?
Yeah, thank God you know stuff. I'm just saying. Well, and then
you're not knowing until you know. Yeah, and then you
right.
can't not know that now, right?
Right, so the stargazer, right, when you, I think of something very, you know, spiritual, I think. And then here it says that in Zen, the word intimate is synonymous with awakening, realization,
mm-hmm.
or enlightenment.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes hand in hand for me with stargazing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And I think that's the reason why, you know, it came in as a flower that really wanted to express that. And to hold it in, like I said, it's beyond words by the time you really allow yourself to be in this place of just being present with flowers and just seeing what comes up for you can be so powerful, especially when you just allow yourself to be more in that, you know, not knowing mind and allow yourself to be just in this place of being innocent and having an intimacy with it. I mean, you know, smell it and look at it and touch it and, you know, maybe you haven't caressed your cheek. Allow yourself to engage with it and be in a personal, you know, interaction with it, as opposed to just using it on a visual level. Yeah, it could be really powerful. How about you, Elena?
And, you know, I was going to say, you know, stargazer really leaves its mark, too. So, like the pollen,
yes.
The stamens.
Yes.
Like, you have to really be careful with it that it doesn't get where it doesn't need to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that, for some reason, that's coming up for me. It's like, you have to, like, especially, I guess, when you talked about your boundaries, you know? Like, it reminds you to keep boundaries in all kinds of ways. And so, but also, like, it's really hard to avoid a stargazer once you're in it. Like, once you're, I mean, it's a heady scent. I mean, you know it's like, whenever I, you know, October 6th is our 25th dating anniversary, and January 6th is our 25th wedding anniversary. And so, yes, you do see 3 months from the day to the day. And so, but whenever those are in the house, there's just no question that's what's in the house. You know, like you walk in the house, you smell them. And so, I love that. It's just, but I like how you talk about, like, it's deep in the boundaries, even though it's there, you know, you just gotta be careful with it. And I love that. It's always focused towards the heavens, you know, that's a great, I love that.
So intimacy is that invitation to come closer, to fully embrace and lovingly engage with your life right where you are, rather than trying to move from it. And I think that's something that all flowers are really there to be an invitation for that. Because, you know, they're rooted in the ground. They can't walk around. They're alive, basically. But, yeah, with their pollen and everything else and the way that they, you know, they'll you know, bring the bees and all the other insects and stuff with them to be able to engage with that. But I think it's about, you know, being able to recognize that, you know, we already belong, and that intimacy is a better expressed as being an imagined enlightenment than actually what it could feel like. So it's really inviting us to be in a place where we can relax and be receptive and be in a place of that's just the ordinariness of intimacy, the ordinariness of being able to be authentic and this is who I am, and, you know, and that whole thing of, like, I don't know, and, like, who are you in this moment? I had a great conversation with a friend of mine this morning. We were talking about that, about wouldn't it be wonderful that every time you meet somebody, you didn't bring all the history of that person with you. And you really allow yourself to be in this moment of, like, you know, your name is Debbie, and, you know, hi, how are you, and who are you? You know, what's going on today? I think it's such a great gift you can give to yourself and others when you not bring all the baggage of whatever it's been. You know, I think that's just a really, really good thing on that. So so that's something I really wanted with the flower power with Lily.
Yeah. I was going to say, I've experienced that with my kids whenever you're speaking to children, that I don't always ask them, you know, what grade are you in? You know, who cares what grade they're in, you know,
but
I can tell, but I can say, what is, you know, if I want to talk to them about their education, I can say, what inspires you at school? What do you like to do at school? You know, what do you do on the playground? You know, those kinds of things are interesting to them. You know, they're ready. If they tell you that it's science, you say, oh, what part is, you know, astrology? Is it the, you know, chemistry part of it? You know, or is it animals? You know, whatever it is, where, you know, whatever, you know, age around, you know, whatever learning level they're at. That's that, you know, being able to really, truly engage with them as a person instead of just grabbing facts from children, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Beautiful. Well,
yeah.
Really, to be seen.
Yeah.
You're really seeing them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because you're not coming from a place of facts. You're coming by from what is your passion? You know, what do you feel about things as opposed to, the, you know, you're knowing about something and the different sense of knowing. So, yeah.
Right.
So, and then we move into, from that whole sense of intimacy and being intimate, it goes into talking about being able to slow ourselves down enough to be able to listen carefully and that still small voice within. I'd love for Amy to talk a little bit about that.
Well, we're going to do an experience. We're calling it Losing Your Mind to Find Your Way. And, you know, a lot of my life is spent helping people to find their way, not me telling them their way. And I think this is just, this section is so beautiful about letting you be in that space and letting the answers come. Like they say, the path is right beneath your feet. And like the, you know, the beautiful stargazer Lily is like, yes, I'm here, I am present, you're going to know it, but really hearing myself. And this, I love this, these couple of sentences. I think that sums up everything in a beautiful way. When we don't know where we're going, we have to remain fully present. Carefully feeling our way inch by inch, moment by moment, we have to stay close to our actual experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you know you're being given guidance every single step of the way, inch by inch, mm-hmm. moment by moment.
And I love in the book where Frank's talking about his experience with, I think it's Tim, the caregiver that he accidentally, you know, the man he was helping fell while he was trying to help him up. And then he was just so full of, you know, self-doubt after that. But that Frank being an amazing teacher, seeing what, it's like what he said earlier, Robin, just like how whenever, you know, a good teacher doesn't give you more than you can take. But then also being mm-hmm. a teacher is knowing exactly really where your student is, even if they're not believing in themselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he helps him to, he says, keep your belly soft, and you know how to do this. You do all this book reading you're trying to, because the poor student was trying to go back and read again about how to move somebody with these, you know, with whatever condition this person had, and Frank says, no, just keep your belly soft. And then after, mm-hmm. and then he didn't even give him any more advice than that. And I can imagine as a student being so frustrated by that, because I just mm-hmm. want the steps. But it's like, keep my belly soft. No, I need the actual directions of, you know, where I put my arm or where I put his arm. And, you know, and Frank's like, no, I know you. You know this stuff already. I just know that you need to keep your belly soft when you do this. And so he does it. And then afterwards, he had an amazing, it was amazing for the,
yeah.
for the student. You know, it's
yeah.
a real celebration, a real victory, an internal victory. And that's I think that's just a sign of a true good teacher, you know. Like,
yeah.
Trusting.
Yeah.
Trusting the student, also trusting the teacher in that.
Yeah, that was a
and
great story because
process,
it just, go ahead.
Part of the process, you're going to fall a little bit and you're going to stumble a little bit, but you're going to find your way. And, you know, a good mentor, coach, parent will be there with you as you're finding your way.
Yeah, and Frank was really just inviting him to be present. I mean, think about
right.
it. He was asking
exactly.
him to be
mm-hmm.
to be soft belly. All I'm being mindful. I'm in my body. I'm being soft with my body. If I'm soft with my body, I can be soft with him.
Right.
Right. So
right.
that I'm being that in all things because I'm being so mindful about it in the moment. I can express that out, you know, beyond myself.
Yeah. If he'd gotten in his head too much, who knows what could have happened? You know what I mean? You get too much in your head on things.
Well, you know, Right. He was trying to hold in a wrong way or whatever, and he was fighting it
mm-hmm.
instead of being with it. I'm fighting it.
Exactly.
Yeah, thinking I have to, like, force
right.
it instead of – it's just like – to me, it's like karate or something. You know, you're
mm-hmm.
going in and doing
yes.
something, and you're allowing the flow of the motion to be something that assists to the next thing. Right? So it's that whole thing.
Yes.
So, Amy, want to go ahead and do the mindful moment?
I would be honored to. So what we're talking about here is a technique – that you can use anytime, many times during the day, just to kind of stop and say, where am I at, and get some guidance. So I'm talking about a visualization here, but it's a little bit of a misnomer because not everybody sees things, or you talk about listening to that inner voice, not everybody hears things. So you may, I would say I just know stuff. When I know stuff, you don't want to bet against me, and it isn't like, it isn't necessarily that I see or hear. Sometimes I do, but it's really that prophetic knowing. So it's just, and maybe you smell it, maybe you taste it. So I'm going to lead you through this experience, and don't worry about how it looks or how it feels, but know you're going to get exactly what you need. So what I want you to do right now is we're going to get ourselves in a nice, calm space. So let's take in a nice, deep breath. Hold it for a little bit. And release. Now, as you keep breathing in deeply and releasing, I want you to imagine every time you're breathing in, You're breathing in healing energy. And every time you breathe out, you're breathing out worry and tension, or that I don't know-ness in a worry way, and breathing in the I know-ness in a confident stargazer kind of way. And as you keep breathing in that beautiful energy and breathing out what doesn't serve you, your body is calming and your body is relaxing. You're breathing into your toes, your legs, your arms, your entire body. You're feeling peaceful. Imagine that your higher self, your wise future self, and who you are right now are on a quest together for what's your next step. Now imagine yourself in a place that you feel peaceful and you feel calm. It could be the beach. You feel the ocean breeze. You smell the ocean. You hear the waves. It could be in the mountains. You feel the calm environment. You smell the pine. You hear the birds singing. Go any place that you find peaceful and calming. From this place, imagine yourself walking up to a building. And you see a door that says Authentic Power written on it. Open this door and enter to the room. What do you experience? What do you see? Hear, feel, sense. Now see yourself leaving the room of Authentic Power and closing the door behind you. Now you're going to walk down a little path. Maybe there's some flowers. Maybe there's a little bit of ocean, something that really feels safe to you. Now you're going to see another door, and this door is marked Courage. Open this door and enter the room. What do you experience? What do you see, hear, feel, or sense? Now see yourself leaving the room of Courage and closing the door behind you. You walk down the path a little bit more, and my goodness, there's another door. And this door says Support. Open the support door and enter the room. What do you experience? What do you see, feel, hear, sense? See yourself leaving the room of support and closing the door behind you. And you're going to walk down the path a little bit more. And now here's a door that says Guidance. Open the door and enter the room. Ask guides to come forward and support you on stepping into your personal power and knowing what you need to know right now. It can come in many forms. And you want to check inside to say, what does that look like for me? What does that feel like to me? What do you see? What do you hear? What do you sense? Now, see yourself leaving the room called Guidance and closing the door behind you. Know that you can go back to any of these rooms anytime that you want to. They're always available to you. You don't need to take a lot of time to do it. You can just take a couple of seconds. Now, you've been to all these rooms. Now, I want you to bring your current self, your higher self, and your future self all together. And I want you to kind of be with each other for a little bit and see, what did you learn? What is it that you're going to do differently? Or do that maybe you've never done before, maybe something you've done before and you're comfortable from what you learned. Now know that you can go back to this space anytime, your future self and your higher self, they're always right there. They're always in the ready to talk to you, just waiting for you to give you the invitation. I want you to return back to your own space, feeling awake, refreshed, and knowing what you need to do next. So take some nice deep breaths. Wiggle your fingers and your toes. Keep breathing yourself more awake and aware. And when you're ready, open your eyes.
That was great. Thank you, Amy.
Yay. You're welcome. Anything that either of you would like to share?
About the doors.
Yeah, you don't have to go through all the doors. You can always just go one. You know, just take a couple minutes to go to one.
You know what's interesting,
Elena?
Amy? Yeah, this is so very cool. I'm going to have to journal about this because, you know, we've done this exercise before and I've had completely different answers. And today in doing this, you know, you and I met at that resort in San Diego when we were there doing that training. I can't remember the name of the conference now. But Career Thought Leaders.
The International Career Thought Leaders Conference.
Blah, 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 blah. Yes, we did that. And what a blessing that was to be there. But as we went from guidance, I saw sunbeams, right? I saw just beautiful sunbeams coming down. And then the next room after that, I got lost in us being at that resort, like just walking through that resort. That's what came to me. And seeing the water, seeing the boat, seeing the beautiful flowers, feeling the breeze from, because it was so breezy and beautiful while we were there. And just feeling the connecting power of people coming together. That's what was like the final thought for me. And so I'm going to definitely have to look at that some more.
Perfect.
That's beautiful.
And, you know,
yeah.
And I really, something that I've just been, you know, done relatively recently is this bringing the current self, future self, and higher self together to have a conversation. And it really takes things to a whole nother place.
Yeah, it really does. Yeah.
Awesome.
So I wanted to end the show with this one little paragraph that Frank wrote. It said, "Not knowing is the gateway to a deeper appreciation of the potency of our basic nature, which cannot be known by the conceptual mind alone. It takes us beyond our ordinary way of thinking and seeing things into intimacy with this very moment." There you go.
Read that.
Yeah, that's awesome, awesome, awesome. And next week we're going to talk a little bit, we didn't get to it tonight, but I definitely want to talk about it, about emptiness and spaciousness, and it'll be lovely to roll that into our next segment with the fifth invitation about surrendering to the sacred. So we'll be hold your hats for that one. It's going to be a beautiful conversation because it's just a beautiful way that he did that. So thank you, ladies.
Thank you. Love you.
Love you, too. So come to me, not knowing, it's a good place to be.
Yes, it is.
And we'll see you next time here at the cafe. Thanks for joining us.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.